You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. And on that note of, you know, tithes and offerings, we talked about it last week. I remember when we first came here, very small church, did not have a lot of resources. And I remember as the church began to grow, you know, people gave, people sacrificed, but still just there was needs that were outside of our ability to be able to. And I remember checking the mail one day and somebody randomly sent a check for $20,000. That parking lot over there that we park in was from somebody that doesn't even go to this church. And it just goes to show us sometimes God's methods are outside of our framework of thinking. And sometimes we lock God into a box. I think that really what we need to do is we need to just do what God commands us to do personally through his word. I'll give you another instance. You know, just if you did miss last week, the building, you know, the groundbreaking service, one of the highlights, we had a contractor that reached out to the church, electrical contractor that does not go to our church, that heard about what God is doing in this church, that says, hey, we want to have a part in the work. We want to install all the electrical service for Todd, correct me, is it the electrical service for the building, not installing all of the electrical work, but basically what it boils down to is about $30,000 to $40,000 of God working outside of the realm of, man, this person hearing, this person. And so we don't know how God necessarily will do the work, but let us all, right, pick up our shovel and do whatever that is that God has called us to do. And so, and it's not all monetarily. There's guys that here that are gifted and skilled in building and different things like that. And I think our time, as that comes, we'll use whatever resources, whatever talent, whatever ability God has given to us. And so keep that in mind as we look to the future. And so I am excited about this next 4 weeks that we're going to start in. I'm going to start out by telling you this story. So, I didn't get to talk to my wife about it. So my wife's the pianist. I could, what do they say? Ask for forgiveness later. How's that go? What's it say? No, my wife's just wondering, what is he going to say? So, me and my wife, we lived in Maryland and we used to hike the Appalachian Trail. And so, I remember this one distinct time that we hiked a portion, the Appalachian Trail is rather long, so we haven't hiked it as though we did the whole thing. We hiked about 270 total miles of it. And so, but there was one particular time that the guy who was doing all the mapping out of everything miscalculated a few things. That would be me. And so my wife, she had her backpack on. This wasn't hers. And I had mine on, and we were going, and usually we try to put in about 10 miles. It's up mountains, switchbacks, back and forth, and I miscalculated probably by about 3 miles, maybe 4 miles. And we had been hiking from about 7:30 a.m., and we were still hiking at 5 a.m., or 5 p.m. That evening. And my wife, I seen my wife get to a place of complete exhaustion, bearing the weight of that backpack that she has, that I've never seen before. It was one of those things, had I not walked through that, and rightfully so. I mean, I took her through paces, and I remember her having basically a nervous breakdown on the Appalachian Trail, not being able to take one more step. And I'm like, honey, we're in the middle of nowhere. We got to keep on going. And I kept saying, husbands, you ever said this to your wife? It's right around the corner up here. It's right around the corner up here. And literally, that's what I'm saying to my wife. Hey, honey, give me, you know, and so I'm taking stuff out of her backpack, trying to load my backpack down. I'm tired, right? You know, and it's like, oops. And so we're going through that. And I remember my wife coming to this place of complete an overwhelming exhaustion, completely being burdened down by the weight of that pack on her back. longing for rest, right? Longing to find that shelter that we were supposed to stay at. Even though it was out in the middle of nowhere, what a comfort it was to be able to get to that. I remember we got there like, oh, you know, taking off the backpacks and those kind of things. And we're starting a four-week series on rest, finding rest for your souls. You know, things have been busy around here. And for some, Monday is just signifying how busy things are going to continue to be. VBS is happening, man. Over 50 kids that are registered and things are happening. Life is busy. It's summertime. We have work to do. We have all these different things. And finding rest in a busy world can often be a very hard thing to find. In life, we all carry burdens. Every single one of us are carrying a burden. And we'll see through the course of the next 4 weeks of some of those things. While the burdens are sometimes different, that we carry, the result of being burdened down are the same. When a person is carrying something they no longer can carry, eventually they will collapse under its weight. My wife collapsed mentally, emotionally, and almost physically under the weight of that pack that she was carrying. Carrying different weights. Maybe it's the weight of a sickness that's lingering without relief. Maybe it's the weight of a wayward child that has gone astray. Maybe it's a marriage that is strained and broken. Financial issues that keep piling up. A job that's consuming you. Dreams that have been crushed in your life. Maybe it's a personal stronghold or stubborn habit that you can't give up. Maybe it's a secret addiction that you have that has you bound and you can't break free from. Maybe it's church hurt you can't seem to get over. All of these and many more are burdens that we can bear that weigh us down to the point of giving up. Many of us need rest. If you're in here today and you would be honest and say, man, I really could use some rest for my soul. Raise your hand. I've been there. I've asked myself the same question. I need rest. But the question is, sometimes we don't know where to find it or how to find it. Many of us need rest, but we don't know where or how to find it. Bearing a heavy burden can be a lonely place, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Over the next 4 weeks, we will be looking at Matthew 11, Hebrews 4, Psalms 23 to teach us where and how to find rest. And today, I want to start with where rest starts. Where rest starts. And so, can I get Zach? Can you come on up here for a minute? Steve, can I get your help for a second? I want you to give everybody one of these, and then the extras you can just put up here. I'm going to give you a little card here, and there is a challenge before we even start. Over the next 4 weeks, this is kind of going to be the core of the verses, but kind of the core, talking about rest. And here's my challenge. I would ask that each one of us would memorize this verse over the next 4 weeks. You can do it. I asked you that you would memorize it over the next 4 weeks. Stick it on your refrigerator. Stick it on your speedometer there to help you know how to speed. Or if you get a speeding ticket, you could say, I didn't know how fast I was going. The preacher told me to stick it here. Maybe he'll let you go. No, don't do that. But I stick mine there. Hold on to that. Memorize that. But the Bible says that we learn those steps, right? The Psalms 119, why am I drawing a blank? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do we find rest? But by holding on, clinging to his words. And so I challenge you, memorize that, meditate on that for the next 4 weeks. And hopefully that verse, I promise you, that verse will be a great reminder to you in times where you feel overwhelmed, in times where emotionally you're run down, you'll remember that the Holy Spirit will bring that to mind and will point you back to the place where ultimately we can find rest. And we're going to talk through some of the nitty-gritty of how we can find rest, but we must start at the very beginning of where rest starts. Whether you are mentally or emotionally or spiritually or physically burdened down, today rest starts at the same place. But you have to be willing to relinquish your burdens. You have to be willing to relinquish your burdens. And the question that I would ask you today is, are you willing to relinquish your burdens? You're like, sure I am. Hopefully you're still saying the same thing at the end of the message. I would like us all to read together that verse that I gave you. You can either look at that card or you can look at the screen up there. But read it with me, would you? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord God, and I am just grateful that we have this wonderful hope, Lord, of finding a rest for our souls, not just in eternity to come, but on this earth right here, right now. Lord God, I pray for the one that's burdened down, that you would give them ears to hear and that the Holy Spirit would give them eyes to see how they can find that rest unto their souls. Lord, I pray that you would please help us today. Meet with us here. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Steve, can I get your help for a second? Can you pick this up? Well,
What have you done? Okay.
No. I need it. I need you to pick it up. I'm sorry. There we go. Here. All right. So, is it heavy? Hold on. He's like, hurry up and get this thing on. All right. Here we go. Got it. Whew. I'm going on a journey somewhere. Just don't know where I'm going. Ugh. A little skinny back in there. Whoo. Man. All right. Whew. Got a lot of straps to hold this thing on here. It's heavy, I'll tell you that, though. All right, can you guys still hear me? Oh, all right. Don't mind me. I'm just bearing a burden here. So I'm going to preach with this on today. And it is very heavy. I had it too heavy. I had to take out some weight, but it's heavier than I would have carried on the Appalachian Trail, I promise you that. So today, there is one burden that we all have in common. And that's the weight. And that weight is an overwhelming weight that weighs each one of us down. The initial form of rest that Jesus desires to provide us is relief from the weight of sin. Until we attain rest from sin, we will not experience any other rest that God has for us or for our souls. And the heaviest burden we can bear is that of sin, as we were never intended to carry or bear sin in the first place. God did not create us sinful. He created us perfect. Sin was never a burden that we were meant to bear. And there's three things we're going to talk about today that I want to look at. And basically, it's going to be the weight of sin, which crushes us. It crushes us. It weighs us down. The weight of sin that controls us. And the weight of sin that condemns us. And this is the start. If we want to find any other kind of rest, we have to deal with this first. And so first, point number one, the weight of sin that crushes us. Psalms 38, maybe some of you are familiar. This is a psalm, one of David's psalms of repentance. he had sinned. And in Psalms 38, 3 and 4 says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. He paints this picture of sin weighing him down. And for him, many think this would be referring to a sexual sin. It would seem as though there was maybe some venereal disease transmitted through this. And so for him, that's what it could be, or just a disease that got allowed to come on him. Either way you look at it, there is a sin that he is bearing that is weighing him down. And he confesses, it's too heavy for me. Psalms 40 verse 12 says, for innumerable evils has compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. Basically here, it's kind of the mindset that he's so bowed over because of the weight of sin. His head's like not even able to look up just because of the weight of the sins. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. The weight of sin that crushes us. Man was never meant to carry the weight of sin. We are not designed by God to carry that burden. Just because you and I are Christians, though, does not mean that we do not carry around the weight of sin on our shoulders. Well, I'm saved. That does not mean that you and I do not carry around the weight of sin on our shoulders. If we could bear the burden of sin ourselves, then why did Jesus have to come to this earth and suffer brutally on the cross? If you and I can bear our own sins, please tell me why he died for us. I hear many people say, well, I'm a good person. Are you good enough to get to heaven? Well, maybe. Well, why did Jesus die for you? That always stumps people. That always stumps people because as Christians, one of the greatest things that hinder us from finding rest for our souls is this burden of sin that weighs us down and crushes us. So we see first sin crushes us. It crushes us, but then number two, the weight of sin that controls us. It not only crushes us under its pressure, it also controls us. Isaiah 53, 6 says, all we like sheep have what? We have gone astray. Man, this thing is getting heavy. Maybe I shouldn't carry this on my back. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to what? His own way. That sin controlling us, leading us astray. Hebrews 12, 1 says, let us lay aside, right, every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. It's so hard, impossible, might I say, to follow the Lord while you're bearing the weight of sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Frequently in life, the burden of sin we can carry can lead us to choose the easier path of less resistance in life. I promise you, if there was an easier path when me and my wife were on the Appalachian Trail than having to climb up that mountain, you would have bet that we would have took the easier route that day. And so many times in the Christian life, because we're bearing about on our shoulders the weight of sin that God has not designed for us to carry, it causes us to take the easier path that is of less resistance, which aligns with the world's way more than God's way. A Christian cannot simultaneously bear the weight of their sin and the weight of the cross at the same time. You cannot. Hey, that small sin that lives in your life, hey, it's weighting you down. Whether you realize it or not, it's heavy on your shoulders. And the longer that burden is there, it's going to consistently weight on you. And you cannot, as Christians, we cannot bear the weight of sin in our life and the cross of Christ at the same time. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." How are they opposing themselves? By allowing sin to reside in their life, to bear the burden of sin in their life. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And this is how sin controls, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This idea of sin controlling us, ensnaring ourselves as we give, I like the phrase, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. While we can never be possessed, if you have the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, you and I can never, ever be indwelled by an evil spirit. But we can be controlled about or bound in sin and led about by the devil because we have given sin place in our life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that man that was taken in allowing sexual sin to live in his life. God, through Paul, says, turn such a one over to Satan that the soul may be saved, but that the body may be consumed. Taken captive, he's controlled by sin. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." Bound by the cords of your sin, controlled by that sin in your life. Sin not only crushes us, it controls us, but the weight of sin, it also condemns us. It condemns us. Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth," what happens? "It shall die." The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished," what does it bring forth? Death. Death. Condemnation. Condemnation. You know, Martin Luther, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Martin Luther. Martin Luther felt the intense weight of sin upon his shoulders, and the fear of condemnation gripped his soul. Through autobiographies and different things, it's said that before his pivotal breakthrough, Martin Luther was gripped by an overwhelming sense of his sinfulness and a terror of God's judgment, and he sought forgiveness and peace with God with restlessness, fervor within the framework of the medieval Catholic Church. And here's a brief summary of his pursuits and extreme that he went through to find relief from the weight of sin that was on his shoulder that he could not find through that Catholic Church, through that false religion. And it says frequent and meticulous confession. Luther confessed his sins to priests for hours on end, meticulously trying to recall and confess every sin he could think of, yet his countenance remained unsettled and uncertain. He was constantly plagued by the fear of unconfessed sin, even unknown ones. Self-mortification and penance. He subjected himself to acts of self-punishment, including prolonged fasting, almost to the point of death, to earn favor, right? Prolonged fasting, enduring cold nights without a blanket, and even whipping himself in an attempt to atone for his sins. Pilgrimage driven by desperation, he undertook a pilgrimage to Rome in the 1500s, seeking spiritual benefits from visiting holy sites like relics, and including crawling up the scale Santa on his knees, 28 steps. He crawled up on his knees trying to earn favor with God until his knees literally bled. And he prayed on every step trying to earn favor, the weight of sin literally crushing him at his core. Includes crawling up these steps, reciting prayers on each step in hope of gaining indulgences and forgiveness.
intense theological studies. He immersed himself in the study of theology and scripture, meticulously examining the text in search of answers to his spiritual angst and the nature of God's righteousness. And this, through his study of not what a church says or a religion says or a denomination says, this is where he found relief for his burden. Luther's intense struggle and study of the scripture, particularly the book of Romans, led him to a groundbreaking realization that salvation is not achieved through human efforts or good works, but through faith alone in Jesus Christ. He discovered that God's righteousness was not just a demanding standard, and it is. God demands righteousness, a righteousness that you and me can never attain to. But he also supplies a gracious gift. Imputed to those who believe in Christ. This marked the turning point in Luther's life, freeing him from an unbearable burden of sin, trying to earn his salvation, ushering in the Protestant Reformation. The first step today of finding rest for your soul is letting Jesus bear the burden of your sin that's crushing you under its weight. This is both for the saved and for the unsaved. See, we forget that we too as Christians can bear about sin that still crushes us. That's why we don't live the victorious Christian life as Christians. Because we allow burdens in our life that were never meant for us to bear. And I love what 1 Peter 2:24 says. It says, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He bore our sins. If you recall in Matthew chapter number 1, Gabriel reminds, it says, he has come that he might bear the sin of his people, that he would save them from their sins. That we, being dead in sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You know, today you have a choice. Each one of us have a choice. See, you can bear this heavy burden yourself. Or you can let the Lord bear it. And that goes for the saved and the unsaved. You know, too many of us Christians are trying to live this victorious Christian life while we're trying to bear about this weight on top of our shoulders. And then some may not even be saved, like Martin Luther, trying to find good graces with the Lord, not realizing that he loves you, he died for you, he shed his blood for you to carry the burden that you could not carry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, all the sins that were written out that the devil loves to remind you and me about. He says, they're all blotted out. They're all under the blood. They're all nailed to the cross. Amen. And it's your choice, because God's not going to come to you and strip you of it. He says, hey, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Hey, come to me. This is your choice. I could stand up here and preach till I'm blue in the face. Doesn't change the fact of, will you allow him to take your burden? There's a story about this hitchhiker who was backpacking cross country, and he was hitchhiking this one day. He had a couple bags with him on his back, and somebody actually stopped to pick this hitchhiker up. And he had all these bags, and the fellow that stopped to pick him up said, hey, just throw your bags in the back. But the fellow didn't do that, and he got him in the truck. He's sitting in the back of the truck. He's still wearing all his bags. He's still holding the bags. And after the fellow got to his place, the guy asked him, he said, hey, why wouldn't you just take a break, put the bags off to the side, take a rest? He said, oh, I could never inconvenience you. You already have given me a ride. I could never inconvenience you to carry my bags. But the thing that this man foolishly failed to realize is that the man in the truck was already carrying his bags. Can I say that there was a man on the cross that's, as Christians, it's foolish of you and me to carry the weight that Jesus is already carrying. See, we're in his hand, John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. We're in his hands. And there are Christians in here today that are literally in Christ's hands that are burdened down with sin. And if we truly want to find rest, the challenge today is, here's the challenge. Give the Lord your sin. Stop carrying it around. Stop holding on to it. Stop letting it wear you down. It's your choice. You can go through this life burdened down, bearing the sin that literally Jesus died to bury, to bear for you. Yes, you may be saved, but he also wants you to have, man, that liberty without living life as burdened down by sin. He wants you to be able to bear up his cross, not the burden of your sin, which, by the way, he says, my burden is what? Easy. And my yoke is light. See, that's a heavy burden that we can't bear. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. See, there's a promise of rest for you and me in Christ Jesus. This promise of rest is to those who will trust what the Lord has done for you, not for what you're doing for yourself. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, the gospel is where we find rest. When we give, well, you say, man, I got this addiction I can't let go of. Give it to the Lord. I know what addiction's like. I've been there. I've done that. I walked down that road. And I'm here to tell you that God can conquer any sin that's in your life. And it's not always sin that we would look at. Sometimes it's a sin of pride. Sometimes it's a sin of self-righteousness. Sometimes it's a sin of this selfishness. Sometimes it's a sin of the me first mentality. Goes on to say, it says, verse 3, it says, for we which have believed do enter into his rest. See, this is his rest right here. This cross. This is how you and me will start that journey of finding rest for our souls. It's entering into his rest. That phrase is mentioned throughout the next 10 verses, and it says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. There it is again. Verse 4 says, he spake in a certain place on the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, there it is again. Verse 6 says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. What? To who? To his rest. Verse 7 says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after as a long time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice and not harden your heart. He's talking to you and me today. Give the Lord your burden of sin. For the unsaved, rest starts at believing that Jesus can and will forgive and cleanse you of all your sins. If you will believe in the work that he has done for you on the cross. For the saved, rest starts at believing Jesus can give you personal victory over your sin in your life that has been weighing you down. And it's not just the sins that we always think about. What about anger? What about frustration? What about impatience? What about anxiousness? As we prepare our hearts to find rest over these next 4 weeks, I don't know about you, but who wants to really find rest for your soul? As we prepare our heart to find rest for our souls, let us start by giving him the burden of sin that's weighing us down. You know, today, purpose in your heart, Maybe the Holy Spirit's pinpointing something in your life that you're saying, hey, he's like, give it to me. Give it to me. I want it. Literally, he died so that we would not have to bear that burden, but that we could live righteously, holy, justly before him. The Lord wants to bear that burden. Are you willing to give it to him? Is it a love for money that makes your soul restless because you're so fixated on it, you're so worried about it? Is it a pride of a sense of self-entitlement? Is it a secret substance abuse? Is it bitterness in your heart or maybe unforgiveness? Is it a sinful secret relationship or lustful indulgence? Is it an indulgence of the flesh, whether food or porn? It doesn't matter. Is it a self-righteous attitude towards others that you're better and you know? We can't find rest carrying around sin with us at the same time. You know, today you have to make a choice. And you're like, I just don't know how to give this sin to the Lord. It's so big. Hey, listen, he can handle it. I promise you, he can handle it. Whatever it may be today, let's give it to the Lord. True rest for our souls start here. The victorious Christian life starts when we give him our sin. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, my wife's going to come and sit at the piano, but today, I guess the invitation is very pointed today. I want you to view sin from God's perspective, not from your perspective of what you deem right. But in your heart of hearts, how did the Holy Spirit speak to you today? Through his word. Is there maybe something, a burden of sin? We all have them. And at times we pick them up along life's journey. But really, he's saying to us today, lay aside every weight and every sin that thus so easily beset us. Hey, Dad, are you struggling with that secret sin of porn? Hey, is there somebody in here struggling with a secret substance abuse? And maybe even something a doctor prescribed, but you know the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Maybe there's a secret relationship, or maybe it's a self-righteousness within. Maybe it's a pride. I would challenge you, whatever the Lord has brought before you, and it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be something that you're doing. It could be something that you're not doing. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Today, purpose in your heart and seek the Lord for these next 4 weeks to help you lay aside, take this burden, pray about it every day, ask the Lord for strength every day to take that burden off, to give the Lord that burden of sin. But maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never given him the lump of all of your sins. Today, Jesus would say to you, do you believe in me as the Son of God? Do you believe that I died on the cross and rose for your sins? Today, if you will believe in Jesus for your salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, just like Martin Luther, no difference. Just like through the book of Romans says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you be willing right now to call upon the name of the Lord for your salvation? Because religion can't give it to you. Denomination can't give it to you. Only Jesus can give you the forgiveness for your sins and rest for your soul. Right here, right now, you can bow your head and you can say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I believe that you died on the cross for me. Lord, please forgive me of my sin and take this burden of sin from me. Lord Jesus, save my soul. If you prayed that prayer, putting your faith in Jesus, The Bible tells us that we can have hope of heaven and that our sins would be forgiven. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for bearing, Lord Jesus, those burdens that we could not bear. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to identify the sin in our life that's literally crushing us, that's controlling us, that's condemning us, whether it's through the guilt and shame, Lord, or the direction of our life. I pray, Father, that you would help us to strip those things off, to give those things to you. I pray that you would help us, Father, to cast those things at your feet, Lord, because you care for us. Lord, I ask and pray this in your precious and your holy name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.